Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. James, the half-brother and servant of our Lord, writes and urges his hearers then and now, be patient. Be patient. Oh, not another lesson on patience. Pastor, I have to drive past the Buckland Mall every day in December on my way home from work. Surely I don't need to hear more about patience. But here comes James. Be patient. Not once, but twice. Be patient. And no, James is not really talking about enduring the long line at Target or waiting for the excitement of Christmas morning, though these first world issues might still be included in there. In the context of his whole letter, James is talking about patience in the face of trial and testing. Patience in the face of temptation. Patience in the face of injustice and abuse. When things get hard for us, there can be a temptation to give up on God and to give into the ways of the world, to stop resisting our flesh and just be comfortable, to just get along with everyone else in the way they live and work, a temptation to just give up hope, to stop believing in the possibility of change, to give in to fear, to give in to anger, to grumble against one another, to sit in judgment over another, to lash out with our tongues, or worse, when we are treated unjustly or unkindly. When we're pressed and tested and tried, there can be a temptation to take matters into our own hands when God does not seem to show up when we want him to intervene, to arrogantly try to take control of our lives. Throughout this whole letter, James speaks against all of these things. And here, near the conclusion of his letter, James urges patience. Be patient. The Lord is coming. Be patient. The patient waiting of faith that strengthens its heart in the Lord. James urges this patience and then gives us three examples of patience or perseverance in the face of challenges. The farmer waiting for that valuable crop, that precious fruit of the earth. The prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord, and Job. Job is noted for persevering through trial. And the emphasis that James gives us here is not so much on the quality of Job's perseverance. It could be argued that Job was not exactly the most patient waiter under trial. But that's another sermon, another Bible study. The emphasis here seems to be rather on the completion and what God brings about because of his compassion and because of his mercy. What God brings about in the end as Job perseveres through this time of desperate darkness. Job, after losing almost all that he had, experienced a restoration of family, of health, of worldly goods even, that was impossible for him to anticipate in the depths of his darkness while he was scraping his sore flesh on the ash heap. There was a better day for Job on the horizon, even when he could not see it coming. James says the same is true for us. With the Lord's coming, there is the promise of restoration. A blessing that far outweighs our current troubles. Impossible though it might be to imagine in this moment, That is the promise of God. And if you've read through the Bible, you know that this is an entire testimony of the persistent faithfulness of God. In this very season where we are looking ahead to the coming of Christ, and next week where we celebrate that first coming of Christ, we celebrate the faithfulness of God. God who does what he says he will do. James says, the Lord's coming is near, and it is. For God promised to Adam and Eve way back in the garden when they turned against God, when they rebelled against him, God promised, even then in his grace, he promised a savior, he promised a rescuer, one who had come out of the descendants of Eve to crush the head of the serpent. And this season we celebrate that God has done exactly what he set out to do. Jesus came, and there on the cross, Jesus crushed the head of the devil. He took your sins away, and he covers you in his own blood and his own righteousness, so that the accuser cannot any longer stand before the throne of God. Cannot any longer point to your sins and say, you do not deserve to be in God's presence. Because no, you are covered in the righteousness and the holiness of Jesus. You belong in the presence of your Father. The devil's work is done. His head is crushed. God did what he promised he would do. The scriptures are faithful. The cross is the ultimate sign of God's faithfulness. So when he says, when James tells us that the Lord is coming and that there is blessing at his coming, you can trust in the faithfulness of this word. He also holds up the prophets as an example of those who persevered under trial. They were often mistreated, persecuted, even executed for speaking in the name of the Lord. And yet, they persevered under trial, even when their entire their culture was against them, even when the kings were against them. The prophets persisted in speaking faithfully the truth of God. And James says we consider blessed those who have persevered. What is this blessing? In the beginning of his letter, James chapter 1, verse 12, he says this. He said, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. James urges the people of God to remain faithful, to hang on and cling to the promises of God. No matter what trials, no matter what testing, no matter what temptations come our way, James urges us to cling to the promises of God, because in the end of days, those who persevere will be blessed with that crown of life. The very thing that Jesus won for us on the cross will be yours in its fullness. The resurrected life that Jesus sealed for us when he walked out of the grave alive will be yours in fullness. That crown of life, that's the goal, that's the blessing that James holds before us for those who persevere. So don't grow weary. Don't give up on God, people of God. Persevere. Keep clinging to these promises, and that crown of life, that eternal blessedness is yours. But it's so hard to wait, isn't it? It's so hard to wait. Sometimes it's very hard to endure. And we may wonder why. Why doesn't God just end it? Why doesn't he intervene right here and right now? We may ask, where is God? Why doesn't Jesus just come back? What is God doing? Be patient. The Lord is coming. Be patient like the farmer. The farmer prepares the soil. He plants that seed and he waits and he waits and he waits. And there's danger. There's danger while he waits. The human farmer may wonder, will there be enough sunlight? Will there be enough but not too much rain? Will there be a violent wind that comes in and wipes out the crops? The farmer waits. This is what the farmer does. He works, he plants, and then he watches and he waits. God does his work. He prepares the soil. He plants the seed. James tells us earlier in this letter that we have a new birth through that word of truth. Why? So that we might be a type of first fruits of the creation unto God. He says that God has planted that living word in us and urges us to humbly receive that word that's been planted in us as we await that day of harvest. But what's God up to now? What's he up to? He's not like a human farmer that sits back and anxiously wrings his hands and worries. God's still at work. And he knows the day of harvest, and he knows the end from the beginning. What's he up to? Why the wait? The beginning of this letter, James tells us the reason. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, this time of waiting is vital. It's necessary because it's in this time of waiting that the growth happens. This is the time where the seed germinates and becomes a plant and the fruit begins to form. Without that time of waiting, there is no fruits. Without that time of waiting, there's ultimately no harvest at all. The Apostle Peter tells us one of the reasons for God's patience. He says that he's not slow like we think he is slow in keeping his promises, but he waits because God is patient, because he doesn't want any single person to perish, but rather that they turn in repentance to God and are rescued on that last day. God holds back. God waits the sending of his son so that there would be an even greater harvest, so that more people have an opportunity to hear the gospel and turn from sin and trust in Christ. God waits and holds back so that the harvest will be in its fullness when he gathers it in. Here also we see that God is not inactive. God is not indifferent to our times of trial and testing, our waiting. God is up to something. God is working to bring us to maturity. Right? Perseverance must finish its work so that we become mature and complete, not lacking anything. The testing, the trials, the temptations, the waiting itself, all of that is God's means to produce good fruit in us. He may be strengthening our reliance on him. He may be humbling us so that we become less and less self-reliant and we cling only to Christ and his cross. He may be teaching us that we've made life all about ourselves and we now need to turn outward and care for our neighbor who also are waiting and struggling and striving. In this time of waiting, God's doing good things in us. And it's good to ask when we're in the midst of it, what are you trying to produce in me, God? What good fruit are you maturing even now? What's the meaning of this time? Now, I wouldn't recommend that you say that to another person in the midst of their suffering. It probably won't be received very well, right? I see you're suffering. Don't worry. God's doing, he's producing fruit in you. That, don't do that, right? But in the middle of it, we're talking about this now. Maybe you're there right now, but it's a time to reflect and to ponder and to wait patiently because God's doing something in you. He's producing good fruit, and you'll bring that to maturity, and that day of harvest will come. Be patient. The Lord's coming is near. Be patient like that farmer, and the day of harvest will be glorious. It'll be a glorious day when all of his people in maturity will worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So be patient. Jesus is coming. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.